Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 32. Greetings, bears and cubs. This is the Nard.
And this is Excalibur back again at ya.
Yeah, so happy holidays to all.
Happy holidays, happy new year. Can you believe 2005 is already over?
Yeah, it's almost over, yeah.
I can't believe it.
So many things happened. How was your holidays?
It was good, actually. I had a pretty good holiday. It was pretty low-key for a change, which is... It was nice. I mean, usually my holiday tradition is to go out to my grandparents, but this year we kind of did our own thing, and it was nice. Spent time, you know, a little time with the family. Then I went out with my friends. We went to the movie theaters, and you know, just basically kind of relaxed that day. And I needed it after having to work 2 weeks of retail hell.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. You didn't have to work on that Saturday, right?
No, I had Christmas Eve off, thank God.
Okay.
Yeah, that was actually my only day off that week.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Oh, you mean you had to work on Sunday, Christmas Day?
No, Christmas Day, in our world of retail, Christmas Day, we were closed. But the day after, of course, I had to work. So
that was
an adventure.
Uh-huh. Well, that's...
What about you? How did you? I know that you on Christmas Eve went and did that naked pool party thing.
Oh right? Yeah, that was fun. All the nude bears swimming around.
And you didn't take any video. How dare you?
I know. Well, it was dark. It's pretty dark, so it's hard to make videos. But it was good enough to use a camera with a flash, and that's why on episode 31. If you look at the link, you can just see the pictures there, and that's pretty much the best I could do for that night.
So basically, if I look at the pictures, I'm gonna have to have like drool guards on my keyboard, huh?
Oh yeah, that's right. Or some towel beside you, or paper towel. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, we had a lot of food, and well, actually, the next day, Sunday, it was good also because we went to our friend. John and Palima, and we had another party there. There's a lot of potluck also, and we had a lot of food there too. And that's when we watched Kung Fu Hustle with English dubbing.
Oh, Kung Fu. I love Kung Fu Hustle. I mean, it wasn't one of... It's not on my top 10 of the year, but it was definitely a film that I had a blast with. So yeah. I love Stephen Chow. I mean, I haven't seen Shaolin Soccer yet, but... if it's anything like what Kung Fu Hustle was, then I know I'll love it because I remember sitting in the theater watching Kung Fu Hustle, just cracking up the whole entire time. So.
Yeah, it was so funny. So tell me, how good was Santa to you this year? What did you get for Christmas?
Didn't get too much this year, and to be quite honest with you, I really didn't mind because the stuff that I got, I really, really appreciated. I actually, as a big surprise, received a gift from a listener of the Don and Drew show. We did a gift exchange, and I honestly thought that nothing was going to come of it. And sure enough, on Christmas Eve, I received this nice little package of stuff, an assorted mixture of candies from Japan, actually. And I also received a pirate flag, and as they said in there, now I'm officially a butt pirate.
So, okay.
That was a big shock, actually. That was probably one of the biggest shocks that I had.
I guess it's for real.
Yeah, it was for real. So, and then on Christmas Day, I got a couple of DVDs. I got Space Ghost Coast to Coast Volume 3. I got The 40-Year-Old Virgin,
mm-hmm.
Which we'll get back to in a little bit later.
Okay.
The best DVD that I got, Not Another Teen Movie, The Director's Cut,
mm-hmm.
Which is a guilty pleasure movie of mine, actually.
Uh-huh.
And but the best one that I got was a DVD of season 1 of Fraggle Rock.
Oh, yeah, I grew up with that.
So did I. Mean, I guess my mom remembered that
Jim Henson's
an idol of mine. I mean, he's definitely one of the two idols of my life, and I never missed an episode of Fraggle Rock growing up, so to have that in my possession is a great big honor. So now I have season one of The Muppet Show and season one of Fraggle Rock, so now I've definitely got like two definitive works of Jim Henson in my possession now.
Wow. Good for you. You got a lot of gifts this year.
Yeah, and then I also got a very special gift the day after Christmas. I reunited. I used to be in an underground comedy troupe called Nybuck Entertainment back in the 90s. And I actually reunited with two of the members on Monday, Cindy Kennard and Julie Willis. And I haven't seen both of these people since 98.
Wow.
And it was a nice reunion. I missed hanging out with them a lot. And if they're listening to the show right now, and they better be because I'm going to tell them to, I just want to say it was great hanging out with you guys. It was great seeing you again. And, you know, let's not wait for another 5 years to get back together.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You had a good reunion.
Well, that was definitely the best gift that I received this year, was to see Cindy and Julie again, most definitely.
Oh, okay. Well, let me see. What did I get?
How good was Santa to you?
Let me see. Well, Mike gave me a lightsaber. I like playing with that.
And exactly how do you like playing with the lightsaber?
Well, you know, just waving it around, turning it on.
It doesn't vibrate and go three speeds, does it?
No, it doesn't. No, and it comes with only 3 AA. So.
Oh, it didn't come with like condoms and lube, did it?
No, it didn't. No. And what else? That's the major one. I got some shirts and some shot glass chest set. It's pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
And most of the stuff are for the house. So.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool. And that's pretty much what I got for Christmas.
That's cool.
And a few DVDs. I got from my sister a DVD of Unbreakable and a few more. And well, that's pretty much it. Oh yeah, we got Seen It. You know the Seen It.
I love that game. Which version did you get?
We got the movie.
Cool. Yeah. I wanted the Disney one, but nobody wants to give me the Disney one because they know that I am a fountain of useless Disney trivia, and nobody wants to play with me. So, but no, I have the movie one also. The movie one's great.
Did you know about that Disney movie? Aladdin is by Disney too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Aladdin? I'm not sure, but in the original package of the DVD or the tape of the VHS tape when it came out, one of the towers, one of the pictures.
Oh
there,
yes, the Little Mermaid. Yes,
it was the Little Mermaid.
It's really a penis. Yes,
it's really penis. Okay,
I own it. Yes,
you have
the... rid of that. It's there. I mean,
so you knew about that, huh? Okay.
The thing is you actually honestly would never notice if it hadn't been for somebody pointing it out, to be quite honest with you.
Because
it does, you know, look like one of the towers. But if you look real close, yeah, it's a golden dildo. So
it's a golden dildo. Yeah, so, well, since we're in the topic of movies, have your reviews.
Okay, yes. Yes, this is a tradition of mine, and a tradition that I used to do online, but now I'm moving it on to, you know, the podcast listening community. I always compile what I feel are my favorite movies of the year, mm-hmm. and the movies that I just thought were wretched. And I would like to share them with you, actually. Now, before I do share them, I want everybody to know I'm not a professional critic, and I'm not, you know, saying that these are absolutely the best and worst movies of the year. These are just my opinion. You may not agree with it, but, you know, that's why we have our opinions. So, like somebody once said, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to go with the best or the worst first?
Let's do the worst first.
The worst. You got it. Okay, so now I'm going to let you know that there's probably choices on both lists that's going to shock you.
Okay.
Especially right. Number 10. Especially number 10 on my worst film list. Number 10 is Rent.
What?
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of the Broadway show, but as a movie, it failed for me.
Oh.
Why did it fail? Was it the adaptation of the story? No. Was it the fact that setting it in 1989 kind of made references like to things like Thelma and Louise seem stupid?
Mm-hmm.
No. it was in the acting and the directing, mostly the directing, actually. Chris Columbus appeared to direct all the actors to act restrained, and in doing that, it killed that energy that the show produces. This show needed that energy to have a heartbeat, and to me, it just didn't have a pulse.
Mm-hmm. But I liked it. Oh, well.
I know. Like I said, the Broadway show is great. The movie just lacked that energy.
Yeah.
And for Rent to work, you need that energy.
Yeah,
and it's all in the fault of Chris Columbus. It honestly is.
Like I noticed before that there are some songs. Yeah, I did notice that there are some songs that are not meant to be played like that. I mean, I didn't like the part where they were singing at each other while Roger's on the top floor and Mimi's in the.
I know, that's a very West Side Story.
I didn't like that at all. It was so goofy.
Maria, yeah, I was waiting for that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But not to take anything away from the actors and everything, because they were the original Broadway actors, and I know that they didn't act those roles. It was in the directing. The problem was in the directing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number nine. My choice for number nine is Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the film that single-handedly ruined the love life of Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
This movie had a boring plot, subpar action wannabe that was just way too mean-spirited for its own good. Plus, Brad and Jennifer were way too pretty for each other. That made me ill.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet, but I want to see it one day.
Don't waste your money, to be quite honest with you, unless you have a puke bucket handy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't waste your time with Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Number eight was a movie that actually just recently came out called The Ice Harvest. This was directed by Harold Ramis, and it starred John Cusack and Billy Bob Thornton, and he directs both of these incredible actors right into the garbage can.
Okay.
This movie was an absolute stink bomb, and the thing is that the trailer made this movie look excellent, and instead the film turned out to be, a Limburger cheese pizza with three-day-old halibut topping followed by a cold glass of crap, actually.
Okay.
The movie was trying so hard to be another Bad Santa, but the thing is there's only one Bad Santa, and you cannot duplicate what that film did.
Uh-huh.
It's so unfunny that it was pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is Harold Ramis is a good director. I mean, this is a guy, who's, he wrote the screenplay for Ghostbusters. He directed Groundhog Day. He's also, behind Animal House. He's, behind a lot of great comedies, and this was just a huge disappointment.
Uh-huh.
Number seven on my list is The Island. Now, this is classic. Okay, director Michael Bay, the man responsible for Armageddon, announced that he has made his most original and heart-pounding film ever. The film gets released, and all the fans of Mystery Science Theater 3000 call foul, as the film resembles an episode featuring the film Parts of the Clonus War. Sure enough, the director of Parts of the Clonus Horror noticed this also, and The Island rips his movie off, and he files a lawsuit. Now, with that funny tidbit aside, this film just flat-out sucked. Parts of the Clonus Horror was made fun of on Mystery Science Theater 3000 for a reason, and The Island would suffer the same fate as Parts if AFST3K was actually still on the air.
But whenever I look at it, when I was watching it, I keep looking, use the Force, use the Force, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's, I always look at that.
Ewan McGregor's kind of stuck in that for a while. So.
Yeah, uh-huh.
My choice for number six is The Ring Part 2.
Oh, Ringu 2.
Yeah. Now, I liked the first film a lot. I think the first Ring was very scary, but this sequel was a slap in the face to all the fans of the first film. Naomi Watts' character, I think, hands down, is the poster woman for the worst mother of 2005, and her fate should be forcing her to appear on an episode of Dr. Phil.
But,
and I'm still trying to figure out what was up with the CGI deer. I mean, explain shit instead of just doing it and then hoping it works without an explanation because you think it might pass as creepy instead of confusing us.
Mm-hmm. But it did clear a lot whatever was in the first episode, didn't it?
Well, I liked that the first episode was a puzzle that you had to figure out by yourself. And, I mean, just the whole notion of everything that happened in the sequel. I mean, I've seen both sequels. I've seen the sequel to Ringu, and I've seen this sequel. The sequel to Ringu is completely different than the sequel to the American version of The Ring, and I was honestly hoping that they would go with the sequel to Ringu, which I thought was a little more suspenseful and a little more urgent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number five, my choice for number five is going to shock everybody, War of the Worlds.
Okay.
Now, when I first heard about this film and heard it was being directed by Steven Spielberg, I had high hopes for it. But not even Mr. Spielberg's directing could have saved all the problems that this film faced. the script adaptation was riddled with numerous plot holes. I mean, for example, if they had ships hidden here all this time for thousands of years, wouldn't geologists eventually have found them? And shouldn't the aliens have known about the viruses and bacteria if they were studying us in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim Robbins also gives one of the worst acting jobs of the year, probably his entire...
Yeah, I should agree. He didn't act well in this one. I didn't like it. No.
I was glad when they killed him.
Oh, yeah.
But most of all, the biggest problem that I had with War of the Worlds was that I could not separate Tom Cruise from the character that he was playing to the batshit crazy asshole he emerged as this year. I mean, it was because of his ranting attack on Matt Lauer that made me not want to see Tom Cruise on the screen at all, and because of that, it hurt this film a lot.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty sad when a little girl can out-act you at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, Dakota Fanning, I'm expecting to see lots of stuff from her in the near future, and it's pretty sad when you're a veteran like Tom Cruise and you're being out-acted by this little girl.
Uh-huh.
My choice for number four is the movie Boogeyman.
Oh, that was bad. I hated it.
Yeah, to anyone who wasted their time and money on this film, I definitely feel your pain.
Yeah, I want my 2 hours of my life back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was no rhyme and reason to this movie. It was not scary at all. It made Barney's Great Adventure scarier, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on just a little side note, to be honest with you, after I saw this film, I had a dream where the real Boogeyman came after me because I hated this film about him, so I actually had him sit down and watch the film. And he watched it with me, and after it was over, he actually gave me a hug and thanked me for showing this film and went and killed the director. This was an actual dream that I had.
Oh, my goodness.
my choice for the number three worst movie of the year, yours, mine, and ours.
Okay.
This movie was really horrible, and the thing is that the original movie is incredible. This was inspired by a true story. In the original movie version, it starred Henry Fonda and Lucille Ball, and it was actually the movie that inspired the TV show The Brady Bunch. And I'm trying to figure out, how do you go from screen legends like Henry Fonda and Lucille Ball to Dennis Quaid and Rene Russo? That's like going from Sardi's to McDonald's. And this was probably the most unnecessary remake ever, you know, made. I mean, because there was honestly nothing wrong with the original movie from the 60s. The original movie from the 60s, it was a perfect family fun film. And they go and try to, you know, do this modern day remake of it, and it turns it into a third-rate Disney film. It was crappy.
Mm-hmm.
My number two choice for worst movie of the year, The Adventures of Sharkboy and Lava Girl in 3D. The title alone, I think, gives it away. But you know that this film is bad when the target audience that this film is aimed at is hating it at all as well. When I was in the theater, I was sitting next to, I guess this boy was about 7 years old, and he was begging his mom throughout the entire film to take him out of the theater. That is not a good sign.
Okay.
And my number one choice for worst film of 2005, and anybody who knows me knows this, it was The Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I heard it's really bad.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Where do I begin? First of all, the original series, Bo and Luke Duke were not sex-crazed bed-hopping himbos. Mm-hmm. They were not always looking to have sex with anything with tits.
Okay.
Second of all, Boss Hogg was a buffoon, not the bizarre interpretation that Burt Reynolds was giving in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Knoxville was basically giving a performance that made it look like he is completely sold out. And if anybody has seen The Ringer just recently, like I did, he's completely sold out.
Oh.
Now, the General Lee, you know, one of the big things about, you know, the General Lee in the movie is, you know, it leaping in slow motion while playing the song Dixie with the yee-haw, you know.
Yeah.
Once or twice in a movie, that's fine, but they did it way too much.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem with this movie, though, lies in the hands of Jessica Simpson. She displays that she has the acting ability of a sea sponge. She took a classic character like Daisy Duke and completely ruined her.
Oh.
So that's my list for the worst films of 2005.
Wow, that's a pretty...
Now, before we get to the next list, was there any movies that were out this year that you just wanted your life back with besides Boogeyman?
That's pretty much that I don't like. That I've seen, yeah, I didn't like it. But for me, when I watch something, I pretty much... watch the ones that I know or maybe I've heard that are good, or mm-hmm. probably listen to what you say.
Okay.
And then, oh, well, is that you. Good? Okay, so, okay, I'll watch that one. I won't watch this one.
Okay. Now, before I move on to the films that I actually thought were the best ones of the year, the ones that I really enjoyed, I wanted to actually quickly cover films that I liked this year. They didn't make my top 10 list, but I did like them, because I know I'm going to get, you know, some fanatics who are going to scream at me that I didn't include some of these movies on my top 10 list. But The following movies that you're about ready to hear, I did see, I did enjoy them. They just didn't make my top 10, okay? Tim Burton's The Corpse Bride, the documentary March of the Penguins, Rob Zombie's The Devil's Rejects, an Asian anthology horror film called Three Extremes, Pride and Prejudice, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the remake of King Kong, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Wallace and Gromit, the movie, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, Sky High. Actually, that was a big surprise to me, Sky High. I was surprised with how good that movie was, and I actually honestly think they should turn it into a TV series. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Red Eye, a movie that came out from Wes Craven that was his first venture into psychological horror, and I think he should do more movies like that. Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, The Squid and the Whale, Happy Endings, The Aristocrats, great documentary about a joke.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Domino, a movie that a lot of people ignored but shouldn't have. It was one of the best performances by Keira Knightley ever. Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, and Kung Fu Hustle.
Okay, Kung Fu Hustle.
So now with that said, here are the movies that I thought were the 10 best films. These were the 10 movies that I enjoyed the most. Number 10, Sin City.
Okay.
Robert Rodriguez, who is, as you know, is also on my shit list for making The Adventures of Sharkboy and Lavagirl in 3D, took the graphic novels and created a film noir world that will never be duplicated. This was visually a beautiful film. Number 9, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I think this was one of the best sex farces that I have seen in a long time. Steve Carell gave a performance that's hysterical and sweet at the same time. This film is very quotable, it's nonstop hysterical, and it's 100% apologetic, but touching at the same time.
Yeah, I found it a little... Yeah, it was funny. It was pretty funny, 40-Year-Old Virgin. But... well, I guess this is pretty much launching his career now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, he's excellent on The Office, too. And, I mean, he was even funny when he was on The Daily Show. So, I mean, this is a guy who definitely deserves a great, long career. So.
Yeah.
Number 8, Crash.
Oh, yeah.
This is an unapologetic look at modern-day racism. I mean, this film was excellent because it didn't just generalize racism. It covered the entire gambit. And if you honestly did not see yourself somewhere in this movie, then you were in denial about your own racism.
Yeah. You know what, Crash? Yeah, when I saw that, I was really appalled of what's been happening and how things could get fucked up and you think things will be solved, but then later it gets more fucked up because of racism. It's a story about life. I mean, it happens.
I think honestly, this was the best movie I've seen to tackle racial relationships since Do the Right Thing. To be honest with you, it was an amazing film.
Yeah.
Number 7, a documentary called Murder Ball. You'll never look at disabled people the same way again after you see this movie. This is a documentary about a game that's a variation on basketball that are played by wheelchair-bound players, but it also combines elements of roller derby and demolition derby. I mean, these guys are monsters when they are on the court playing this game, and to be honest with you, I would not want to fuck with any of these guys or run into them in a dark alley because they are scary. This film shows that handicapped people can actually be honestly handicapable if you do give them a chance. It's an amazing documentary.
I haven't seen it. I better look for it.
That's definitely worth seeing. It's an amazing documentary.
Yeah.
Number 6, and this movie also, every year I deem a movie the best movie no one saw, and this movie lands in that category, Cinderella Man. This is the story of boxer Jim Braddock and his legendary fight with Max Baer Sr., it was the makings of a wonderful film. Now, Tom Cruise became an asshole this year, and I couldn't separate the asshole from the character he was playing in War of the Worlds. Russell Crowe, Reno, is an asshole.
Yeah.
But his acting is so incredible in this movie that for 2 hours you forget that he is in reality an asshole. You fall in love with his character. That is good acting, and this is good cinema. This is an incredible film.
I have somewhat respect for Russell Crowe, and despite of the fact that people do think of him as an asshole, but
he's a good actor. You cannot take that away from him, unfortunately. No matter how much you want to hate the man, you can't take away from the fact that he is a good actor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Each performance he makes, he gets better and better and better, and it's amazing to watch this guy's career. It really is.
Yeah.
Number five, Walk the Line, biopic of Johnny Cash.
Yep.
And I think that this was also one of the best love stories in cinema history, and possibly the two best performances ever by Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. This was a powerful film and a powerful musical legend, and this movie portrayed a legacy that's never going to be repeated.
You know, I think Joaquin is might be nominated at least for...
Oh, both him and Reese Witherspoon,
yeah,
I think.
Both of them for nominated for Best Actor and Actress, respectively, on this one.
Yeah, they were incredible in that film.
Yeah.
My choice for number four is David Cronenberg's A History of Violence. Mm-hmm. I honestly think this is David Cronenberg's best film since The Fly. This film looks at man's desire for violence and why we enjoy committing the violence, the necessity for violence in our life, and at the same time shows us the immediate and long-term effects of violence. This film held nothing back emotionally or visual. My choice for number three is Batman Begins, a film that I think is the best Batman movie ever made. Wonderful, solid performances from Christian Bale, Morgan Freeman, Cillian Murphy, who I think is like the emerging actor of the year, and Michael Caine. This was an incredible all-star cast, and director Christopher Nolan has made one of the most memorable films of the year, and I can't wait to see the sequel.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I heard that if you've never, ever watched any kind of Batman or read anything about Batman before, or not, or even if you've never watched the, you know, the Michael Keaton and the Val Kilmer and the George Clooney ones before, and if you begin with this, this is the first Batman movie you're gonna watch, it's a good start.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, this is honestly the best Batman film I've seen since Batman Returns. Mm-hmm. And this movie actually topples anything Tim Burton did with the Batman genre. This was an incredible film because the Batman legacy was treated realistically, and you can honestly believe that somebody as insane as Bruce Wayne can't exist in real life.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It wasn't fantasy. This movie was portrayed with reality, and that's what made it really good.
It's kind of funny thinking all along Batman is a ninja.
Yeah, he was trained in ninja.
He was a ninja.
Now, number two, my choice for the number two movie of the year is Brokeback Mountain.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the most moving films of the year with one of the strongest messages ever presented in a film, and that message is no matter how hard we try to deny it or stop it from happening, we cannot control who we fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Ledger's acting career is never going to be the same after this movie. I mean, his performance in this film was mind-blowing. You sit there and go, this is the same guy from A Knight's Tale? You know, it's just, this was an incredible performance by him.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we were watching this, I mean, before we were watching this in the movie, and even the movies that we've been watching, the previews, I got a little sick of Casanova. They keep showing that. I mean...
Well, I think they want to show that Heath Ledger's not gay in real life. So.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And now my choice for number one film of 2005. This was my favorite film of the year. I know this is going to shock everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, my favorite film of the year was Mel Brooks' The Producers.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Yes, a musical from Mel Brooks that is a musical based on a Broadway show that was based on a movie. Yes, this was my favorite film of the year. This movie was over the top. It was a wonderful parody and tribute to the over-the-top musicals that came out from, you know, the 40s to the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the energy that Rent lacked.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick show that they are one of the best triple threat teams to come in a long time. Their chemistry is impeccable and fun to watch. This film is unapologetic, and like Blazing Saddles, it sets out to offend everybody, and it succeeds and makes us laugh hard at the same time. I mean, in what other movie can you see old women tap dance in their walkers? Or or a pigeon named after Adolf Hitler giving the Sieg Heil sign? Or a man who introduces himself as his male business partner, common law secretary? And most importantly, in what other movie can you see an incredible musical number called Springtime for Hitler? And where else can you walk away feeling better than you did when you entered in the movie theater? And that is with this movie. Most importantly, Will Ferrell, hands down, best supporting actor of the year for this film.
Uh-huh.
The great thing about him in this movie is the character that he's playing, he's not being Will Ferrell. He is an insane German. He's an insane former Nazi. Yeah, I mean, this man spends his time training his, you know, messenger pigeons to, you know, go seek Kyle, you know.
Okay.
Like I said, this movie will offend Germans. This movie will offend Swedish people. This movie will offend people who, you know, hate bad taste. This movie will offend gay people. This movie will offend women. I mean, this movie will offend everybody, and that's what I loved about it, is that it's just so unapologetic. And the great thing about it is that it's so unapologetic and doing it so sweetly with these wonderful musical numbers.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such a great contrast.
Yeah, probably we'll watch that on Monday next week.
Just a little tip, when you go see it, you have to stay until the credits are over, because if you don't stay, you'll miss three things.
Uh-huh.
One, you'll miss a brand new song written called There's Nothing Like a Hit on Broadway, which is a great song to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, you'll miss this great improv riff that Will Ferrell does about Mein Kampf. Mm-hmm. And you'll also miss Mel Brooks' cameo.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so
must be very old.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks very old when he's talking about. So those are my worst and best films of 2009.
All right. So that's great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice butt.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer? Do you work out a lot? Do you come here often? Woof, what a bear.
Okay, here is a bear in San Francisco.
Hey, my neck of the woods.
Uh-huh. His Bear 4011 profile is inked in SF77. That's pretty long. Yeah, his name is John, and he will be in International Bear Rendezvous 2006.
Wait a minute, I think I know this guy. His picture on his profile is his entire arm covered in tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I know this guy.
Oh, okay. You've seen him before? You've met him before?
I have known this guy for years. To be honest with you, John is a very special friend of mine, and he's been there for me for a lot of things. Let's just say that he is my soul brother, and at the same time, he's hotter than hell. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me read this profile here. Hello.
Definitely.
I am 28 years old, 5'10", 225, Latino.
Mm-hmm.
Tattooed, friendly, laid-back guy, looking for friends. I love music, house, anything electronic, rock, and most things in between. Thanks for checking out my profile. Take care. Oh, he's so sweet.
He's a big music fanatic also. I mean, if there's one thing that's his passion, it definitely is that. I mean, he's also a DJ himself. He usually DJs at Planet Big by the name of DJ Junior J.
Okay.
And he's like me when it comes to music. He covers all genres.
Wow, okay. So we will get to meet him at IBR, I guess?
Oh, definitely. And guys, he is single.
Oh.
And he is a catch.
He's eligible.
He is eligible. I would go after him, but it would be like dating my brother.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Whoa, like what they say, you know, incest is best.
Oh, no, I don't want to have ding, 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 ding.
All right. Okay, guys, check him out at Bear411. He's inked in SF77. Celebrities who passed this year.
Yes, 2005, we had some very notable celebrities, actually. I mean, not only just in the world of entertainment, but some really notable people passed away this year. Of course, mm-hmm. the biggest one being Pope John Paul II.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
He passed away this year. Rosa Parks passed away this year. If you don't know who Rosa Parks is, go back to school.
Okay.
What I have to say. Let's see here. We lost Peter Jennings.
Oh yeah.
Which was a very tragic death to cancer. We also lost Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
We lost. Let's see. We lost, of course, the biggie Richard Pryor. Who is an inspiration for a lot of comedians.
Oh, yeah, I have pretty much pretty fond memories of Richard Pryor and his very old movies that I used to watch before.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just recently, we lost John Spencer. Any of you watch The West Wing? I honestly don't know what that show is going to do since he passed away. That just came out of nowhere, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Mel Brooks, we mentioned Mel Brooks earlier. His wife passed away this year, and his wife is Anne Bancroft, who's most famously known as Mrs. Robinson from The Graduate. We lost, I guess you could say she's a gay icon, but she's also a Hollywood icon. We lost Sandra Dee this year.
Uh-huh.
Of course, memorialized in whatever that word is, in Greece for the song "Look at Me, I'm Sandra Dee."
Yes, that's why I know that name. It's in Greece. Look at me, I'm Sandra Dee. That's
exactly.
okay.
We lost.
All right, I'm gay. Okay.
Yeah. We lost Frank Gorshin this year. Frank Gorshin, for those of you who don't really recognize the name, on the TV series Batman, he was the Riddler. So he was the original Riddler.
Oh, okay.
And he's also an incredible impersonator. His most famous impersonation was of Kirk Douglas. But, yeah, he originated the role of the Riddler. We lost him this year. Speaking of television, this is one that will probably hit you personally. We lost James Doohan, a.k.a. Scotty.
Oh, yeah. I remember blogging about his death and... And he's a very inspirational Star Trek character, especially because he's the engineer. And, you know, there are a lot of engineers out there who are rocket scientists who really look up to him. And, that's true.
The second original cast member that we lost, the first one, of course, being, you know, DeForest Kelly.
DeForest Kelly, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was years ago. Mm-hmm.
But I'm honored to say that I actually have a personalized autograph from James Doohan myself. So.
Oh, really? What did you get? I mean, how did you...
He was at a convention. I actually went to a convention, and he was there, and okay. I got him to autograph it. So this was before celebrities were charging for their autographs. So I was a little kid when it happened.
Okay.
We also lost a musical legend. We lost Luther Vandross this year.
Mm-hmm.
He finally succumbed to the stroke that he had, which is a shame because Luther Vandross was an incredible singer.
Mm-hmm.
And then... we also lost Nipsey Russell, who most famously was known as the Tin Man from The Wiz. He was also the famous TV poet laureate, he was known as.
Mm-hmm.
And then on a personal note, one of my idols died this year, Hunter S. Thompson.
Uh-huh.
For those of you who don't know who Hunter S. Thompson is, you probably would be very familiar with his work, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. This was the guy who invented a form of journalism known as gonzo journalism, where he would put himself as a character in order to report on what it is that he's reporting on. This man lived quite a life, and is a big inspiration for writers everywhere, so he'll be missed.
Wow. Oh, one more. Pat Morita.
Yes, of course. We lost Mr. Miyagi this year.
Mr. Miyagi, yeah.
How could we forget that we lost Mr. Miyagi? Now, the biggest surprise that I had about him is I honestly forgot that he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for that role of Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
But, that was another one that we lost.
I always remember him as Pat Marie. That's Mr. Miyagi.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of people that we lost this year. You know, Bob Denver, who's Gilligan. You know, we lost... you know, Johnny Cochran from the O.J. Simpson trial, you know, Don Adams from Get Smart. I mean, there's just a long list of people to be honest with you. It's amazing how many notable people have died this year. It's just too long to actually get into.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, but anyway, so let me see. This is past 30 minutes now. Wow.
It's a long podcast we have. It's a year end. I guess we can get away with it since, you know, this will probably be the last one of 2005. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right.
I mean, I don't know about you, just real quick. This year, 2005, the one story, you know, that I concentrated on the most, besides Hurricane Katrina, was the Michael Jackson trial. And
okay.
I got to be quite honest with you, I was very surprised that he was found not guilty on all counts.
I'm
to be honest with you, I think he's guilty. I don't think he was guilty of the kidnapping and extortion charges, but as for the sexual misconduct with the minor, yes. I just think that they found the wrong witness, to be honest with you. They were very discreditable witnesses, but I honestly think that, you know, as much as I hate saying it, I do think he's a pedophile. So,
yeah.
But on a lighter note, when he did, you know, win, of course, as we all know, he celebrated by going to Chuck E. Cheese. And when asked why he went to Chuck E. Cheese, it's because he said that the pizza's good.
Okay. Or ordered something like, can I have a large Jesus juice, please?
Yes. He wanted to ride the rides that were there, and then he also wanted to ride the mechanical ones.
Uh-huh. Oh, gosh. This is so
bad. You know, as they say at Neverman Ranch, there's a little sign that says, you must be this high to ride Michael.
Well, what is he now? I mean, isn't he going to... He's leaving the country, I mean, right?
He's leaving America, yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the smartest thing the man could probably do, to be honest with you,
yeah.
is to clear out of Dodge. So.
That's right.
The most interesting, I don't even know if a lot of people had heard about this, but in Blender Magazine, I think this was, I don't know if this was just recently or not, but this was, I think, was the most amusing news story of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ricky Martin's been accused of being gay and being straight and being all sorts of other things, but I think he revealed a little too much to Blender Magazine when he revealed that he was into golden showers.
Ew.
Yeah, and in fact, I have the exact quote right here. It says, I love giving the golden shower. I've done it before in the shower. It's, like, so sexy. You know, the temperature of your body and the shower water is very different. In TMI, Mr. Martin, TMI.
Well, yeah, that's how he is. There are people out there who are into that, but me personally, no.
Like, I mean, Ricky Martin, singer, bonbon shaker, golden shower fan. Who knew?
Who knows? He might be in, what is it? He might be in Sports Illustrated. Water Sports Illustrated.
Or maybe he'll star in the sequel to Brokeback Mountain. Who knows?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I just thought that was the oddest. Out of all the odd news that we got this year, that was definitely the one that broke my brain, to be honest with you. So,
yeah.
Like, why would you reveal that to a national magazine?
I know. That controversy and Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like I mentioned earlier with Tom Cruise. I mean, if there is one celebrity who went completely insane this year, it was definitely Tom Cruise. And the thing with Tom Cruise is I think that if it would have just stayed with him attacking Oprah and her couch, I probably would have been able to get over it.
Yeah.
When he attacked Matt Lauer, that was it. Mm-hmm. You know, he officially emerged as an asshole. And not only, you know, attacking Matt Lauer, but taking the stance that he did about... postpartum stress and about, you know, psycho drugs and stuff like that. And as far as I'm concerned, when man is able to actually shoot a baby out of his penis, then I want to hear him talk about postpartum stress.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, he's never going to know anything about it. You're not an authority on it. Shut up.
Yeah. And isn't he into Scientology big time?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the poster boy for Scientology. And the thing is like, unlike John Travolta, he forces Scientology down your throat. And he's gotten so deep into Scientology that it's scary. I was so glad when South Park recently had that episode where they made fun of Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Because he had it coming. He really had it coming. And, I mean, yeah, there's other, you know, celebrities, you know, big-name celebrities who are Scientologists, but the thing is they will mention Scientology, but at the same time, they're not looking to convert you. Tom
yeah.
Cruise is looking to convert you. He's
yeah.
like a Jehovah's Witness that walks up to your door and on Christmas morning, you know.
Wears a tie and rides on bikes.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Elder Tom Cruise.
Anyway, so I'm just glad 2005 is over with. This was
yeah.
this was quite a trying year for everybody, and it's finally over. We can move on. We can move on to 2006, and hopefully
yeah.
you know, everything will be great. Are you planning on having a nice little blowout for 2005?
Well, let me see. On New Year's Eve, we're just going to be going to our friend's house, as we did last year. It's going to be, it might be another pool party.
You better bring, you got that video camera for Christmas. You better take some video this time.
We'll see. It's pretty dark. We'll see what I could do. And everybody turns the lights off, so, you know.
Find one of those nightlight things, you know, for night vision then.
Yeah, I can do that probably.
I want to see some white bears, damn it.
So we'll see what happens. How about you? What are you going to do?
Actually, I'm going to be hanging out with my pal, Royce. He was actually featured on a couple of episodes ago. McGuero was his name.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He's hosting a party called Out of the Closet. And the theme of the party is that we have to dig into our closet and look for an article of clothing that we have not worn in a long time. Either something that we just completely forgot about or something that we're embarrassed to wear.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a pretty low-key party, which actually is good. I think definitely we should do something low-key this year. So, yeah. I mean, there was enough fireworks that happened this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess you guys are going to make your own fireworks, huh?
I don't know. I don't necessarily know about that.
Okay.
But no, it'll be fun hanging out with them. I'm looking forward to it, so.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess we can wrap this up.
Definitely. The next time you and I speak with each other on here, it'll be a brand new year. Let's hope 2006 is a lot better than what 2005 was.
Yep, that's right.
This was way too tragic of a year.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the next year.
So am I. Let's hope it's, like I said, let's hope it's better than this year was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so okay, again, this is Nard here in Houston.
And this is Excalibur here in San Francisco, California.
Yep. And well, thank you for downloading and listening to this podcast, guys. And okay, so I guess you can leave voice messages to us. You can call the hotline, the voicemail line at 206-222-BEAR. That is 206-222-2327. You can visit the website at www.bearpodcast.com and email me at bearchaser@bearpodcast.com.
And you can always email me at xcalibear@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to visit the Frapper page if you haven't done it yet, and let's find out exactly where you're listening from.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you can also now subscribe to the Bear Podcast through iTunes.
Yep, you can subscribe. There's a link on the front page of the website. You can go to iTunes, and there are links there. There are links in the front page, so you can actually use that for subscribing, and you can also subscribe using other services like where is it? Yahoo or Podnova Audio and podcast.net, podcast directory. There are ways. There are links on the front page and the right side, so you can check that part out.
And on a side note, you guys can also occasionally hear me once in a while on the Don and Drew show as Fag Fan Roy. Normally you will hear me at the end of the episodes, and they can be heard at donanddrew.podshow.com.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been hearing you there. I heard my voicemail there once. You got me hooked.
And I think just recently they played about my little nightmare tale that happened to me on my way to the movie theater. If you guys want to hear about it, you have to go to Don and Drew Show and download episode 217.
Ah, you're there, huh? Okay. I'm going through my list right now. So it's a long podcast list that I have to listen to this week.
And at the same time, one last note before we leave, Maynard, we actually might have some new listeners, because there might be some people who received their very first iPods for the first time in their life.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they are probably now being introduced to the world of iPod and iTunes. So if there are any new listeners out there, hello!
Hello, welcome to the world of podcasting!
You're going to get so addicted.
Yep, mm-hmm.
You're not even going to listen to music anymore. You're just going to listen to podcasts all day long.
That's me. I couldn't listen to music anymore. I just listen to podcasts from you know, from Lucky Bitch Radio and Yeast Radio and Don and Drew, and lately B Talk, Queer as Folky Boy, and Gay Trucker. God, I listen to a lot now.
I know it's scary.
Yeah. All right, so let's wrap this up. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and hope you guys download the next episode for 2006. Many wolves and many hugs.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.